This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O God. Then Jesus, filled with the...
But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. I cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care from one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand as you feel comfortable for the reading of the gospel.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O God. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. Jesus began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then Jesus began to say with them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Martin Luther King Jr., Donald Trump. I meditated on our scriptures for today and actually began writing this sermon on Monday, January 20th, the day of the 47th presidential inauguration and the 39th year of pausing for Martin Luther King Day. I promise not to talk about politics from the pulpit, but it was not lost on me on how so very different are these public servants Trump and MLK. No matter which side of the aisle you sit, they are different. Quoting from our scripture this morning from the Apostle Paul, St. Paul said in part, quote, "If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it." As a people and as Christians, we are all in this together. Many parts in one body. Psalm 19 said, responsively together, if you recall, quote, "The Lord's judgment is always true and righteous." We are charged to love one another and leave the judging to God. As a part of the kingdom of God, you know, we should be humbled to know that, you know, we're not perfect. We're all flawed. Everyday people and secular leaders. God works in mysterious ways, using our spirit-given gifts and talents. We need to ensure that we suppress our human pride-filled nature so that our God-given gifts can just shine. You see, the interrelatedness of our gifts can be used for building up the body, lifting up one another. We are a part of a whole, not one above another, or one more necessary than another, or one better than another. In God's eyes, we are all equal. Some are just set apart, but we're all equal. Jesus turned things upside down in his day, didn't he? He dined with the sinners, he touched and he healed the lepers, he mingled and loved the lowly, the sick, the prisoners, the oppressed. He was in the trenches. And not only did he associate them, but he lifted them up and empowered them, inspired them. Do you remember the woman at the well? The lowliest. He did that all to do good things and have others spread the good news. Let's be like Jesus. But in those early days, if you recall, when they were before the Messiah surfaced and they're waiting for this Messiah, remember the many people were waiting. They wanted a king. They wanted, from a human secular standpoint, they wanted a Messiah. They longed for someone that had talents and strengths and power. They wanted a king that was powerful, admired, revered, and perhaps even idolized. They craved the power to lead the people. The people sought strength of this world, in this world, not out of this world divine. Then our Messiah arrived for such the time that it was. God's perfect timing with his plan to save us from ourselves. Jesus, the epitome of humble servant leadership, our Messiah. Let's be like Jesus. Friends, we all play a part together. You'll hear this message over and over. And we can move as one. Servant leadership is buried in all of us with our different strengths. And here's an example of a story I found that was inspired by Nehemiah chapter 4. Take a look at that later. And it's an excerpt or a story found in a sermon by Reverend Tommy Burris. And listen to this. A rider on horseback many years ago came upon a squad of soldiers who were trying to move a heavy piece of timber. A corporal stood by, given lordly orders, heave, heave, ho, but the piece of timber would not move. It was a trifle too heavy for the squad. "Why don't you help them?" asked the quiet man on a horse nearby, addressing this important corporal. "Me? Well, I'm a corporal, sir." Dismounting from his horse, the stranger carefully took his place with the soldiers. "Now, all together, boys, heave," he said. And the big piece of timber slid into place. The stranger mounted his horse and addressed the corporal, "The next time you have a piece of timber for your men to handle, corporal, send for the commander-in-chief." The horseman was George Washington, the first American president. Now, in my research, this was the first story illustration I stumbled across, and I felt it was divinely placed because, interestingly, I'm not lying, I'm in the middle, and Paul will attest, I'm in the middle of reading an 800-page biography of George Washington, and I had literally just set it aside to work on this message. And I found that story. Washington had many strengths. And all that he survived, you might have history buffs in here, I don't know, but all that he survived in those early days before we were even a nation, and he was only in his early 20s. Yeah, right? Some laughter out there. I'm thinking, you know, I love my 25-year-old son, but, you know, when I'm reading this stuff, I'm like, he was sheer determination to build an independent nation free from the British. And Washington wasn't afraid to be in the trenches and build a team and armies to serve as one. In fact, he did it often. That was a part of Washington's leadership style. Washington even appointed a chaplain to help stop, quote, the hustling, drinking, and swearing, the biographer said. As many of you know, my full-time ministry is a hospital chaplain at Ochsner, so that kind of touched me. Page 89 was at the beginning of the book. But Washington had flaws. Trump has flaws. Jesus is perfect. Washington builds soldiers and armies. Trump builds cabinet leaders and advisors. MLK built a movement for good, for peace, for equality. Jesus built up originally just 12 broken, lowly, unknown disciples to humbly yet confidently create a nation, not a nation that we know, but a nation, a kingdom of God from 12 lowly disciples. James 4:6 reminds us that God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. I can't help to reflect upon how MLK inspired everyday people to stand up, to step up, to speak out together for rights and equality. And Washington tirelessly built a ragtag army out of everyday enlisted citizens with little skills but hidden strengths coming together for a common purpose for independence. Many people, many parts, one body. Jesus' first disciples had hidden talents that blossomed through the power of the Holy Spirit, even through these rough and tumble, no-name disciples. They were imperfect. Jesus chose them, and today we are chosen. We, every part, are chosen to rise up, rise above, and continue to build the kingdom of God, no matter what our secular world may do or may pull us. We all have gifts and strengths as Christians. Let's take a couple look here of a couple of Jesus's leaders. Take disciple Peter, for example. Strong Christian follower, Christ follower. He went on to become a leader among the disciples. Despite his initial humility, his pride did get the best of him, if you recall, and he became overconfident and betrayed Jesus right in front of him times three. However, Peter ultimately repented, and he became a pillar of our church. He became the strength behind it. Peter shared the message of Christ's gift of salvation with boldness, as described in Acts chapter 5, if you remember. He built the church because his gifts of preaching, he preached his first 3,000 with his leadership that was Holy Spirit breathed into him, not human. The Holy Spirit was using a human on that Pentecost day and beyond. And arguably before he was even born, he was chosen. And then there's the Apostle Paul. It was Saul. Remember that? Now, you know, when the Bible gets their name changed by God, it's significant for transformation, right? A complete 180. And no one experienced a greater change than Saul. or Paul. Remember, he was a horrific persecutor of the Christians. I know y'all know this. I'm reminding you, before his conversion, he was hateful. He was a religious radical willing to kill for the sake of religion. It took being struck blind by Jesus on the road to Damascus to change this man's ways. But he did change. He became Paul. His heart and his eyes were open to see the true light, and used his God-ordained gifts to serve others and glorify God. Paul, his individual conversion experience blessed him to discover the talents of evangelizing for Christ and mentoring others. Remember, Paul mentored Timothy by equipping him with the tasks of ministry, employing him as a messenger for Christ. Remember that? And then that was Paul's leadership style. And one of the biggest gifts that Paul had that directly benefits us today is his writing. Interesting sidebar. Just like Alexander Hamilton was for George Washington, helping him with his writings for the president. I've read the Hamilton biography too. But anyway, the writing struck a chord with me. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul ministered to others a lot of times from prison, from his pen. Writing. And writing. Many sources say of the 27 books in the New Testament that almost half of them are traditionally attributed to Paul. Yes, he's a man, but he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to give us the messages that we have today and blesses us today. And after all, Paul was martyred. He was martyred for his belief in Jesus as the Son of God. He went from oppressor of Christians to a humble servant for the cause. The case for Jesus Christ the Messiah. There you have it. No super Christian without flaws or a tainted past. All of us have been hardwired and anointed with spiritual gifts. We all have that can be developed into talents. As one part of the body of Christ, we can mine our strengths to make a positive impact and give God all the glory, not the humans. We are not Trump. We are not MLK. We are not Washington, but we are called to be Christ-like, humbly serving and leading others, using the tools that God gave us right in here and playing our part, as small as it may be, to help build the kingdom. Whether taking a role in coordinating a food pantry, caring for people who are sick, hurting, unclothed, unhoused, or being part of a prison ministry, sharing your talent in music ministry, or stepping up to help this church in new and powerful ways as a body, a church body. Many roles abound behind the scenes, up in front. All are needed. All are needed to be the hands and feet of Christ, to make that one body of Christ bigger and bigger. And I challenge you this new year to allow the Holy Spirit, not your pride and ego, but the Holy Spirit to speak to you in new ways. New ways to help reveal and activate your God-given talents and move forward serving humbly. Like Paul's letter to the people of Corinth we read this morning. He used the metaphor of our literal bodies being the parts of the whole, and I know that can get confusing, the arms, the hands, the eyes, and you get the point. But he also proclaimed this, that we are, quote, one spirit, one body, Jews or Greeks, which means like Gentiles, Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, all. Paul reminded us, quote, those weaker and those we think less honorable, we clothe with honor. Less respectable members are treated with greater respect. More respectable members do not need this. God arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member. And remember, Jesus said, the first will be last, the last will be first, in Matthew chapter 20. But Paul continues, remind you, quote, members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we all have talents. And I believe, this is Tiffany, I believe God designed these talents in our DNA, anointed us in the womb. It's our job to pray about it, discover, they are, nurture it, share these hidden gifts or obvious gifts as a part of the body. So Paul continues in that scripture, same scripture, Corinthians. God has appointed prophets, teachers, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues, working miracles, gifts of healing. Do you hear that? In a God-breathed manner, the Apostle Paul shared similarly, if you remember, in the letter to the Romans. Remember that? Romans 12. Tying in the humility part. Paul said, quote, and this is from the Common English Bible language, okay, so it's everyday language. Paul said, because of the grace of God that gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you, a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, then you should prophesy. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. Folks, can you see how important this is, that we are one in Christ, the body? And surely we will take part in Holy Communion that binds us in the blood and the body of Christ, redeemed by Christ's blood shed for each one of us. Let's not sway towards, nor bend to, and idolize mere mortals who cannot serve firmly yet humbly for the good of the people. Even in the tumultuous times of the Revolutionary War that I'm reading, George Washington, albeit with human faults, built up that movement with integrity, dignity, and with honor. He had gifts, and in my reading of his biography, I've learned he credited divine providence and God's power in his abilities, decisions, and outcomes. Bottom line, Jesus, our ultimate leader, our triune God, the scripture fulfilled. Jesus said it himself that day in the synagogue when he read the scroll. We read it today, the gospel reading from St. Luke. Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he unscrolled the scroll from the prophet Isaiah and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." This is Jesus talking. "He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery to the sight of the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll and he sat down. All eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. Then Jesus said to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? The man God, humble servant leader, spirit-led, spoke the Hebrew scripture into fulfillment in that synagogue. I'd like to wrap up with a beautiful poem I found. Again, I think it was divinely placed. It's like a love letter from God to us, supporting this message today. It's anonymous. It said anonymous online, but hear these words. "Within each mortal being, deep down in the caverns of their soul, a fertile garden of hidden talents, divine seedlings wait to grow. Planted by loving hands into the rich soil of one's heart, a heavenly Father's desire, the greatest of blessings to impart. Inspiring gifts of the Spirit, patiently positioned to one day emerge. Nurtured by faith, cultivated with truth, and rooted in his sacred word. The light of life, he warms the plant, illuminating the way. each child's talents grow into blossoms to dawn a future day. Obedience leads to undiscovered abilities that spring forth to manifest. A flowering witness of God's goodness, his miracles reverently expressed. For each of God's children are sacred, endowed with specific gifts, fruits to inspire those around us to lead, to love, and to lift. Know that thou art my special child, a masterpiece, one of a kind. I sent thee here with powers to guide and to lead and to heal the blind. So use wisely thy endowment given. Adore me through service today and show your gratitude more fully by sharing thy gifts in my way. Folks, God's handiwork uniquely designed each one of us while we were still in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, like it says in Psalm 139. We are each crafted by our Creator and made one body in the Spirit of Christ. Many parts coming together to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Through our Spirit-led words that we say and that we write, the actions we implement, our character we display, and our selfless intentions in our hearts, we are empowered beyond any made man army or secular mainstream leaders. We are called, empowered to be the hands and feet of Christ. What gives me hope is that God loves us unconditionally. And with good intentions, God knows our heart, we can be and we are imperfect. And yet we can still shine and glorify God with our gifts, bearing good fruit for this kingdom here and now. So divinely armed with all of that, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are called to humbly serve others by using our strengths, many parts, to change the world for Christ. One person at a time. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for making us one, for making us each unique, yes, one in the spirit of you. We fall so short, oh God, but you love us still. Help us to put you first, to be humble and caring and loving like Jesus is, was, and will always be. We give thanks for those gifts and strengths, and help us to find them, nurture them, and help them to grow, to serve, and to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.